At this time, I'd like to introduce our first speaker. It's Dara P. from Rock Creek area.
Dara.
I am so nervous. I have to start with that. My name is Dara, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Dara.
This is my first time speaking in a workshop, so you guys have just bear with me as I get through my nerves. I've always thought when I went to workshops, I would see people standing behind the podium, and I always thought to myself, I could never stand behind a podium, because when I stand behind this podium, I think to myself that I have something to teach you. Like, I'm in college again, and the teacher's up here and going to educate you all and tell you I don't have anything to teach. I have my experience, strength, and hope, and hopefully somebody might identify with that or learn from it, but that's all I have. And my experience is that people see me differently than I see myself, and apparently somebody thinks my experience, strength, and hope is something to be shared. I also, when I first got asked to share, I texted my sponsor. Said, oh my God, I got asked to share at a workshop at the convention. And she wrote back, what topic? I said, anonymity, but I don't know what to say. And she said, well, what do you think of anonymity? And I said, well, I think it's good. And she said, okay, then share about that. And I said, well, that's a pretty short share. And she said, well, it might be powerful. And for a brief minute, I thought, that would be great. I could get it over with. And no, I've decided to share a little bit more than that. One of the things, at the moment when I was asked, like I said, I thought, I don't know anything about anonymity. I don't know what to share. And the first thing that popped into my mind was when I first got clean, I was working in a hotel part-time, and I had an NA ring, the NA symbol on my hand. And I was working at the front desk of this hotel, and so I leaned over, and I was showing somebody their check-in stuff on the counter, and I had my hand up there, and this guy looked at my ring, and he said, oh, I really like your ring. I have one, too, and it's a triangle. And I had maybe less, 5 months clean, 6 months at the most, and I remember my gut dropping, and I was like, oh, he's going to tell all my coworkers, and everybody's going to find out that I'm a recovering drug addict. And I was so nervous, and all I could think of to say, and today it makes me laugh, but all I could think of to say was, oh, is yours a ring too? And he was like, no, it's not a ring. And that's all I could think of. I didn't know what to say. I was so caught off guard. The second thing, I was thinking, when I think of anonymity, it makes me think of breaking anonymity is the first thing I think of, that, is not keeping anonymity, is not, it's, oh my gosh, I have to make sure I don't break anyone's anonymity. And when I had about 5 days clean, I got clean, my clean date's January 16th, 2006. I started a new job January 17th, 2006. And I was still in an outpatient rehab, going in the evenings. I had to leave work exactly on time in order to get to this place on time. And I was so nervous that I was giving this bad impression to my new job, like running out the place immediately as soon as the whistle blew, And so I went into one of my coworkers' office, who's my supervisor, kind of, and I started out kind of soft and easy with her, and I said, I just need to let you know that I have a problem with alcohol. And that's how I started it out. And she said, and I said, so I have rehab to go to in the evenings, and that's why I run out of here. I don't want you to think I'm leaving work. And here I am thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to tell this woman, and she's going to ask me all these questions. I'm going to have to, reveal so much more. And her reply was, oh, my God, I'm so glad you said that. We can't find my sister. She's in Florida right now, and she went out partying Friday night, and we haven't heard from her in 4 days. How do I help her? And I guess I had like 5 days clean. I didn't even know NA existed at that time. And I just looked at him like, well, I don't know. Like, does she want to stop? And I didn't know what to say to her. And eventually it came out that alcohol wasn't my only problem, that I am an addict and I am addicted to everything. It doesn't matter whether it's a substance, sex, it doesn't matter, food, it doesn't matter, service work, oh God. That's one of my big ones. You can just ask my boyfriend. So when I did some research on anonymity, one of the things that caught my eye was that it said that anonymity is a combination of all of our traditions, that every tradition has something to do with anonymity in it. So I went through and I started reading about each of the traditions, because what I first did was, oh, this is tradition 12, anonymity. So I read it, and that's when I read that it's all of them. So I started looking at all of them, and I just wanted to kind of go through each one, because they each point out to different aspects of anonymity. And I was so surprised that, you know, there's anonymity, there's individual anonymity, which, yeah, that's what I knew, but there's also group anonymity. There's also program anonymity. And, you know, I'm so grateful that this topic was given to me, because I really have learned a lot, and I've really been opened up to a lot. And tradition one says our common welfare should come first, personal recovery depends on NA unity. And, you know, I know that we, like I said, you know, we each, this individual unity, me, I am not standing here hopefully as Dara, this short white girl from Rock Creek area. Hopefully I'm standing here as a recovering drug addict who needs help and who's trying to lead a better way of life, hopefully has something to offer, and hopefully, you know, I can learn from you guys too. And that's where the personal anonymity comes in. You know, I'm sure I'm not the only one who has some, I'm sitting in a meeting and somebody goes to share and I'm like, oh, it's them again. And, you know, if I close my eyes and I listen to the message and I don't kick them off just because I think, oh, they're really bad at relationships, I can't listen to what they have to say. Or, oh, I don't like their sponsor, I can't listen to what they have to say, because that might be the message I need that night that's going to save my ass. And me putting those identifiers and those things on people that are going to make them separate from me is probably only going to hurt my recovery and not anyone else's. And, you know, I know that, we're talking about traditions, but I always love sitting and going over the first step with a new sponsee. Because the first step, and I tell them, you know, I know it is absolutely no coincidence that the first step, the first word is we. That is the first thing we read when we look at this, the 12 steps, which is the core of this program. And I know that, you know, it happens here in the traditions too. It's we. We all do this together as recovering addicts. You know, tradition two is for our group purpose. There is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. You know, I remember that when I first came in, there was this meeting I went to, and the person who chaired the meeting had been chairing the meeting for 3 years. And it all of a sudden became that person's meeting. The name of the meeting wasn't the meeting anymore. Oh, it was Joe Schmo's meeting. And it lost its identity. It lost its, you know, people hearing those names right off the bat might have been discouraged from coming in there from the beginning. And that person isn't, you know, hasn't graduated to the, you know, extended NA program. They are not, you know, the only person who can chair that meeting. There are plenty of people who are able and willing to do it. And, you know, I like that the only guide that we have is our higher power, and that the only guide we have is our group conscience. And I know I've been in a group conscience where I had an opinion that I thought was right, and I was adamant about it being right, and the group conscience decided differently. And I had to suck it up and just say, that's how this works, group conscience. Tradition three is the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. You know, I love going to traditions where this is the topic, because that's exactly what it is. You know, you don't come in here, you know, nobody said I had to be a certain color, a certain religion, a certain sexual orientation. You know, I had a desire. I wanted to get clean. I wanted a better way of life, and that's why I came in here. And I wasn't discouraged or pushed out because of anything about myself. I wasn't told I couldn't come in because of some aspect of me that just wasn't right for NA. It was just the desire to come in. It was just another recovering addict. You know, as I was going through all of these, you know, I noticed a trend here, you know, that I am just another recovering addict, that the meeting is just another meeting. It's not a, you know, a specific this person's meeting or anything. You know, tradition four is each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. You know, I love that it doesn't have to be, you know, I've heard of eating meetings, and other people say, well, I don't like an eating meeting. Well, then don't go to an eating meeting. You know, there are, or I've heard of, candlelight meetings. I don't like candlelight meetings. You know, go to candlelight meeting. You know, just because one group does it doesn't mean everybody else has to do it. Just because one group goes to a community center or another group goes to a church or a synagogue or whatever, that is the greatness of being able to say, you know what, I feel more comfortable sharing. I feel more comfortable with my recovery growing in an environment, and that environment is there and waiting for you. Tradition 5 is each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. I have a sponsee, and I called him before I did this. I was on the phone with him yesterday. I said, I want to share a story about you when I'm speaking. Can I? And he said, well, which story? And so I told him. He goes, oh, yeah, that was fine. He said, just don't use my name. So I said, well, I can't use your name. It's on anonymity. It breaks the whole thing. So, but he said, you know, I remember one time my son, he's a gay man, and I remember he was sharing with me about his mom and having trouble accepting him and having trouble accepting that he was going to get married to another man. And, you know, she had long ago accepted that he was gay, but this was another level that she was just having trouble accepting, she said. And he's sitting there talking to me, and I'm on the phone thinking to myself, oh, my God, I don't know what am I going to say back to him? I'm not a gay man. I'm not looking to marry another man. Like, what do I have to offer him? And by the time he finished talking, I realized, you know what? He's not a gay man. I'm not a straight woman. He is another suffering addict who's struggling with acceptance. And I have struggled with acceptance. I have struggled with crazy mobs who don't accept. And that was what I had to offer back to this struggling addict, was how I have dealt with acceptance in my past, how I have dealt with acceptance with my mom. And all the other details, they didn't matter. It didn't matter at all. And to me, that was such a gift. And I thank him for that. When that story comes up in our communications, because I just learned so much about I guess anonymity, you know, that it doesn't matter. It absolutely doesn't matter, all those details. Tradition 6 is an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Sorry, I have few notes. I was so nervous. You know, I think that, you know, the association with other things, you know, I think people immediately think either of politics or something like that. And you know, and I always think the first thing it makes me think of are special interest meetings. And if they work for other people, that's great. I am not the one to dictate what works in somebody else's program by any stretch of the imagination. I sometimes struggle to figure out what works in my program. But, you know, I think of, you know, there being men's meetings or women's meetings, and NA, though, that's not NA endorsing that. That goes back to the meeting itself having that autonomy and that anonymity and being able to do what it needs to do. And, yeah, you know, lending our name to NA, you know, we wouldn't want to endorse a president because, you know, we wouldn't want somebody new coming in and hearing a whole room full of people saying great things about this president and whomever. President Joe, and they're sitting there going, I don't like President Joe. I don't fit in here. I got to go. And that would be sad. That would be really sad if we had scared away an NA member, an addict looking for recovery because we decided to support something or to endorse something, even in our shares or things like that. You know, sometimes I hear people really strongly expressing politics in their shares, and I always wonder if there's somebody in there who so greatly disagrees that they just might not want to come back. Tradition 7 is every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. You know, I thought it was interesting. I was reading the basic text about Tradition 7, and it was talking about not asking other people to give more than their share. You know, I know that sometimes people have said, you know, oh, we're having a financial problem. If you can afford to put money in, put money in. And people who can afford to put money in, they put $20 in, you know, and that's kind and that's generous and that's their choice. You know, but asking people, you know, one individual being the chair of the meeting and the secretary of the meeting and making the coffee at the meeting. You know, we all do this together. Like I said, this is we. This is, you know, everybody doing this, and we do it together. And we all put in our share and contributions in the best way that we can, and whatever it is that we have to offer, time, money, sharing, rides, whatever. Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. I seek help outside of NA, and I was talking with her on Wednesday night, telling her, you know, I come here and I look at you and you are a professional and I'm depending on you to help me. But when I go to NA, I'm not looking for a professional to tell me and to analyze what it is that I do. Listening to other people talk about their way, they don't need to analyze me. They need to, all anybody does is share where they are. And I learn from that. And I can identify with that. And I'm like, oh, you know what? Nobody needs to analyze me. If somebody else has a solution to the problem that I am suffering with and they've already been through it, that works. That's how this works. And, you know, I like that one a lot because I know that there are psychiatrists in the meetings. I know that there are lawyers in the meetings and financial advisors in the meetings. But I'm not in a meeting for financial advice if I want to go to that person outside the meeting because I know that's their profession. That's a whole different topic. But it's definitely something that because I see a professional outside of NA, I find very interesting how I look at the help that I get in those two arenas and how I find it so beneficial to hear that I'm not alone and that other people are going through things too. NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. I know that, again, I'm probably not the only one who knows somebody who thinks they're in charge. And the thing is, they can definitely be that way. That is fine if that's what works for them. But, you know, there is nobody in charge. And this all does work together. We, you know, we go back to the group conscience. You know, there isn't one person who tells us this is the way it's going to be from now on. And even if that person wants it that way, like the group conscience I was in where I stood there and I said, this is the way it should be. And I was adamant that that was right. And the group conscience decided, no, that's not right. We're going to do it the other way. You know what? I guess that was what was decided. You know, I'm not in control of that meeting. Narcotics Anonymous, Tradition 10. Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. You know, we don't take sides. This goes back, you know, we're not endorsing presidents. We're not endorsing churches, synagogues. We're not endorsing each other. We're not endorsing, you know, rehabs. All we're saying is, here we are. If you want some help, here we are. You know, and that leads to Tradition 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. First thing I thought of on this one, my brother is 12 years younger than me. And if it were my job to call somebody else an addict, but it's not, I would probably call him an addict. But he does not refer to himself that way, and that's just fine. That's his path. And, you know, I remember one time I was headed home. I'm from upstate New York. And I was headed home, and I was dating somebody who was a substance abuse counselor at the time. And my brother said to me, oh, are you coming home to try to get me into rehab? And I said, well, do you need to be in rehab? He said, no. I said, okay, well, here's the deal. You saw what my life was like before. And you see what my life is like today. If you think your life is like what my life used to be like, and you want it to be like what it is today, then just let me know. And I will help you from there. It just is... And when I said that, I was so surprised. I was going, where did that come from? I mean, that couldn't have been me. Because we go back to the control. And what I want to do, when I first heard my brother was stealing pills from my mom, you know, all of those things, I wanted to drive up there. My brother's 6'5". I wanted to drive up there, grab him by the ear, and drag him to D.C. and lock him in a room. And that was what I wanted to do. And it doesn't work that way. It's attraction over promotion. And... it's just, you know, no one individual stands up and says, I am NA, and I am going to teach you, and I am going to show you, and I am going to, this is the way it goes. And that's awesome, because this is definitely attraction over promotion. Lastly, we have the 12th tradition, and anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I have a friend of mine who uses the phrase all the time, be the we. And that is exactly what all these traditions and all of these people is, that we are we. Each individual has helped me to get to where I am, and I still have a way to go. But where I am today and where my recovery has brought me, and the benefits of my recovery have been given to me, you know, are because of whether somebody just showed up in a meeting and I had a place to share my shit, or, share my stuff, or if somebody else, you know, shared theirs and I learned from it, or if somebody just said hi to me after a meeting. You know, it is a we. It doesn't, you know, it can be big, it can be small. There isn't anything more important. Coffee maker position isn't any less important than chair of the region. They are all the same, and you all are helping me in the way that you are. One of the lines in the literature says, sorry, I gotta get my thing. One of the lines in the literature says that anonymity renders personalities and their differences powerless. And I really liked that, and that was why I wanted to say it exactly as it was, because that is true. That it's exactly it. We are not any different from each other, no matter what. Lastly, you know, in your pamphlets, or whatever these are called, guides, agendas, I don't know. There's a social media statement this year, all the way at the end. And I know we've had media statements in the past, and technology and all this stuff has affected social media now. And part of what it says is, if you plan to post photographs taken at this event on social media websites, please be mindful and respectful of our traditions and principles, particularly that of anonymity. Before you post photographs or tag others in social media sites, consider that you may break their anonymity if the photographs or statements include the NA name or symbols. The purpose of maintaining personal anonymity is to protect the fellowship as well as the members. And, you know, that I have had that happen to me. I went to a Halloween party. I was all dressed up. I had my picture taken with somebody else who was all dressed up. And a good friend of mine posted underneath it and commented and said something along the lines of, my two greatest newcomers, or, you know, my NA friends, or something along those lines that to me might break my anonymity. Because I do have a couple of friends from work who are, you know, I couldn't figure out a way to say, no, I don't want to be your Facebook friend. So they're on there. And I read what she wrote, and I had to take it off. And unfortunately, I could, because it was the picture I posted. But, you know, and I told her, you know, please, on my page, don't post stuff like that. And, you know, I know there's another page where in the background somebody's wearing a jean jacket with a big NA symbol on the back. And I'm standing there with what was my sponsor at the time. And, you know, and I could see that in the background. To me, though, the symbol is okay. Because if anyone recognizes that symbol, they're one of us. And so I'm okay with the symbol showing. It's when, you know, Narcotics Anonymous is being broadcasted and my name is on it that sometimes I get a little nervous. And I know today I am not afraid to tell people that I am an addict in recovery, but I kind of want to tell them. I don't want it to be found out on Facebook. So, you know, I'm very grateful that I was given this opportunity. There's one last line that I want to share, that there's a meeting, the very first meeting I ever went to in NA was on a Saturday morning down in D.C. at 16th and P, I think, noon on Saturdays. And at the end of the meeting, I don't know any other meeting that does this, at the end of the meeting they always say, who you see here, what you hear here, let it stay here. And so good, there's other meetings. So I think that is definitely a good wrap-up of anonymity, that one line. So I'm very grateful you guys were here to listen to me and suffer through my shaky voice and my nervousness. And thanks for letting me share.